Praise God. I'll invite you to go ahead and open your Bibles now to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, the first verse. Deuteronomy 28. This happens to be, for those of you that read through Torah every year, which starts at the beginning of the year, the beginning of the agricultural year, which is coming up right away, you would know that we just finished reading this last week. We finished reading Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Actually, up to about 29:9, I believe, is where we read this week. And that is the parasha we read. And who can tell me what the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy deals with? Blessings and curses. Blessing and cursing. And can anybody tell me how many verses are devoted to the blessing? 14 verses. 14 verses. And I believe there are what, 59 verses in the chapter? The rest primarily are devoted to what will happen if you don't keep the Word of God. You'll be blessed if you keep it. And so as we read, I just want to take the first verse and read it. Because something hit me. How many know, what have we been talking about around here? What's our theme been for a while? What?
Listening
to God. We've been talking about delightful prayer. And delightful prayer is speaking and listening. Talking, conversing, intimate relationship with God. What a privilege that we can just talk with God. Did you know all religions have some form of prayer? But you know, most of it, they have no way of knowing if they're being heard. Who can remember the story of Elijah? The story of Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel. When the priests of Baal, or Baal as we call them, were there, and he said, "We're going to find out today who's really God." He said, "So fellas, 300 priests of Baal, 300 priests of a pagan god, an idol." He said, "Go at it. Offer sacrifice to your god. And whichever god consumes the sacrifice with fire, he is God." Who remembers what those priests of Baal did? What'd they do?
Everything.
And sometimes Christians get like this. When they really don't have faith they're being heard, they start trying to do things to get God's attention. But the priests of Baal were cutting themselves. Blood, they knew about blood, see? So they'd cut themselves and bleed. And they would cry out. And they were trying to get God's attention. But you know what? The sacrifice which had been built, or the altar which had been built and had a trench around it, they put their sacrifice on the altar. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. And they cried out with a loud voice. And they sang their songs. And they did all kinds of chants. Elijah stood off at the side and he said, "I think you need to yell a little louder." He says, "I think maybe he's on vacation." And most people don't know that he also said, "I think maybe he went to use the restroom." He said that. That's what that means. And he just chided them. And then finally they had to give up. So they tore down that altar and put up an altar to Yahweh. And Elijah said, "Now let's dig a deep trench around it. And I want to cover this sacrifice with water." So they poured water all over the sacrifice. Filled up the trench around it with water. And then Elijah said, "God, Father, today I want you to show that you're God." Now I'm paraphrasing, you understand that? But who remembers what happened? Fire came down from heaven. Oh, what a return conversation, huh? And not only consumed the sacrifice, but flames of fire, tongues of fire, lapped up water out of the trench around. Well, that day was a great day of victory. But you see, prayer isn't a complicated thing. It's a conversational thing. Years ago, there was a lady by the name of Rosalind Rinker wrote a book called Conversational Prayer. I love to hear people that really get into doing it because they just talk to the Lord and they'll be talking to Him. And pretty soon I'll hear Him say, okay, I'll do that. All right, I'll take care of that. They're hearing Him. And that should be all of us. That should be all of us. We should hear our God clearly, plainly. And I'm here today to tell you that what this word says here, it shall come to pass. Deuteronomy 28:1. If thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice. Everybody say unto the voice. Now, how many of you have a translation that just says hearken diligently to the Lord? Does anybody have a translation that doesn't say unto the voice? Yeah. I've got to tell you, your translation is faulty in this case. The Hebrew text says, kol, the voice, kol. We would spell it K-O-L, the kol of God, the voice. It's not just hearkening to the Lord, but it's hearkening to His voice. You say, is that important? I believe there is something important about it. Because here again, we're not just following a word that somebody gave us or somebody told us, but we're following the word that God spoke to us. And I want to tell you today, and I want to show you today how it's so important that we come to the place that when we read the Word of God, it is no longer just words on a page, but it's God speaking. God talking. And so it becomes more. Remember how the Bible says the Word of God is alive and powerful? Well, who is the Word of God? The Word of God is who? Is whom? He's Yeshua. It's Jesus. He is alive. He is a living God. The Word of God is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Jesus said this to us when He spoke to us in John 6:63. He said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they're life. So, don't go into this book with a thought that, well, I'm just going to read some words. You can go read, any book can do that. Just read words. You can go into this book looking for the spirit of life. Because God will speak to you through what He reads. Even through those curses of Deuteronomy 28:15-59, God speaks to me. I know I don't want any of them. How about you? I've been cursed. Any of you been cursed? I've been cursed and now I'm blessed. And guess what? Blessing's better. Amen? We like blessing better. I've been poor. And now I speak the Word of God. By the Word of God, I am rich and rich is better. Amen? I've been sick. And now, praise God, by the Word of God, I'm healed. And healing's better. Amen? I've been redeemed from the curse of the law, Jesus Christ being made a curse for me, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, believing Gentiles through faith. Amen? Praise God. So we read, it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all His commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. That's the beginning of the blessing. He goes on and said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. Amen? He said, you'll be above and never beneath. He said, I'll bless you in your homes. I'll bless you in your fields. I'll bless you in the country. I'll bless you in the city. I like to remember that when I have to go to the city. The Lord's going to bless me when I go to the city. What do we normally go to the city for when we're up here? Tammy has to go down and work sometimes, but we go down and do a lot of our shopping down there, don't we? I want my store to be blessed, amen? He says He'll bless my store. Well, I believe that's really talking about my stored accounts. But you know what? We also have a store of food. And when we buy food, I believe we're going to find good value, good quality. The Lord's blessing us. So you see, we find that obedience, isn't that what this is here? To observe, to do all of His commandments. Hearken diligently unto His voice. That's obedience, isn't it? Obedience. And obedience brings blessings. You see it, don't you? Tremendous blessings come because we obey God. Now, let me stop and say, and lest there be somebody here that gets the cart before the horse and starts saying, oh, well, then I'm going to keep all the law so I can be saved. No, 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 no. No, you can't be saved by doing this. But once you're saved, you can be blessed by doing this. In fact, even before you were saved, you could be blessed by doing this way. And many people have tapped in to the blessing area and do those things even without spiritual knowledge and the blessings of God work. But I want you to know something. There's a better way for them to work. God expects us to hear and do after we're saved that blessings would follow us. But it's obedience to the voice. Say voice. It's not just the words that He speaks. Some people take a Bible and they almost worship it. You know, they'll, not that keeping them in a case is wrong, that's good to protect them. But some people put them in a case, well, something like this, and never take them out. They're just kept. Kept it very nice. This is fine. Look at the gold leaf on the pages there. Isn't that nice? If I had gold leaf on my pages, it'd all be worn off. And yours should be too. Amen? So, I tell people, take your Bible, this written word, and write little notes alongside to yourself to remember, underline, color code, whatever ministers to you. But use your Bible. In fact, wear out just as many as you can. Just wear them out. It's all right. I've still got my first one. I don't worship it, but I've still got it. It's got a rubber band around it because the pages fall out. And I've got a bunch after that that, you know, I've gotten to the place where I can't carry them anymore because the seams get broken. Pages get ripped. That's all right. Use them. This lady right here uses her Bible. Hold up your Bible, Minnie. Let everybody see your Bible. She uses her Bible. We ought to use our Bible. Amen. But that's where the Word of God is written for us. But you see, if you just read it without the Spirit of God, it's just still words on a page. And a lot of people read it. We have seminarians that have all kinds of letters after their name. You know about that, don't you? DM, DD, THD, PhD, all of those numbers that come after the, and letters that come after the name. Brother Hagin says PhD. Said, I finally found out what that means. Post-hole digger. Sometimes, you know, because what happens, they know the words. Many of our Jewish brethren can quote great portions of the Hebrew text. Some, almost all of it. Tell you right where it is. But they don't have life because the Spirit of revelation hasn't come to make life in the Word of God. And so we hearken to the voice. Say the voice. The voice of God. Hearing God's voice. This is so important that we do this. In Jeremiah 31:33, we begin to see that obedience to the voice is not just reading, but hearing. Isn't it? It has to do with hearing God. When I read words in the Bible, it's God speaking to me, talking to me, explaining things to me, telling me things. In Jeremiah 31:33, it says, "But this shall be the covenant that I'll make with the house of Israel." And I want to stop for just a second and let you know about the house of Israel. How many of you know the house of Israel isn't as easily defined as we would like to make it? It's kind of hard to say, but he's not talking about just Jews here, is he? I said, is he? He's talking about the house of Israel. The house of Israel was made up of how many tribes? 12 tribes. Judah and Benjamin and a half tribe of Levi would make up the southern tribes. And then the 9.5 tribes, or they call it 10 tribes, were the ones that first went in 721 B.C. They went off into captivity over in the area of Iran and Assyria. And you know what? They never came back. They never came back. They were dispersed. The theological term that's used is called diaspora. They were scattered everywhere and they never came back and they became assimilated. Caution, believers, don't become assimilated. You're in the world, but you're not of the world. They were in the world and they became so assimilated that the only one knows where they are now is God. Did you know that? Some of them kept enough identity that they knew that they were of the tribes. There's a small cluster that was very close to Burma where I visited, over in Manipur in India, that believe that they are of the tribe of Manasseh. And they've got enough documentation through the history that they've convinced the chief rabbi in Israel now, and he's actually allowing them to make aliyah. And some of them have gone back. But for the most part, people don't know if they've got the tribe of Issachar in them, or the tribe of Dan. I don't know if you heard about the Ethiopian Jews. Those people are believed to have actually been from the tribe of Dan that came back to Israel a few years ago. They came back on the wings of eagles. 747s had the seats taken out of them. People gave birth on those planes coming back in. Did you know that? And they brought those people back in. God's doing a marvelous thing, but God says that He's talking to the house of Israel. In Romans 9:8, it says, "That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of promise are counted for the seed." Just before that it says, "They're not all Israel which are called Israel, but those that are of the promise." And I've got good news for you Gentiles who have come in, you from the nations who have believed on Jesus Christ. God now counts you as a part of the commonwealth of Israel. So this promise is to you that I'm reading here in Jeremiah 31:3. "This is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my Torah..." I'm going to take the word law out and put Torah in, because if you were to look at your Hebrew text, that's what it says, Torah. So remember, law isn't just laws, but it contains laws, but it's instructions. "I'm going to put my instructions in their inward parts." Everybody point to your inward parts. That's kind of hard, isn't it? But there they are, your heart, we'd say, your inward part. He says, "I'm going to take my Torah..." This is a covenant now. What covenant is this? This is the newer covenant. This is the newer covenant. He says, "I'm going to put this law, this Torah, in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall..." Oh, what a powerful statement's coming up here. "They shall all know me." Now, this can't be talking about all Jews. It can't be talking about all Israelites after the flesh, can it? So it is talking about the people of promise. The people who have received the promise, and even Gentiles get grafted into that. Amen? Now God still knows where all of these tribes are too, doesn't He? I don't know where they are, and you don't know where they are, but God knows. But God's making a covenant with these people. He says, they won't teach every man saying, know the Lord. This is what the rabbis were around for years, to tell everybody, you need to know the Lord. But you know what? God said they won't have to do that anymore because the people of promise will all know me. The true Israel will all know me. From the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, because I will forgive their iniquity and will remember their sins no more. So that tells you exactly who He's talking to, those whose sins are forgiven and iniquities are remembered no more. Who are those people? They're the born again, both Jew, Gentile, right? Everyone who is born anew into the kingdom of God is now who God's talking about here. So God's talking about something more, isn't He? He says we're talking about knowing. Say no. We're talking about knowing the Lord. And I want to tell you today, I believe knowing the Lord's more than just what we say, oh, I'm born again. I believe we're in danger, church. That some of the people that have been born again are so lackadaisical about their God. They can't read their Bibles, they're too busy. They can't pray, they got too much going on. They can't meet together as the Bible commands because we don't feel like it. Because I'm not up to it. We plan other things when the church meets. Sad. And we act like it's all right because grace is sufficient. But I want you to know something. I want to know Him. Do you? I want to know Him. Say it with me. I want to know Him. And I believe knowing Him means more than just having had an experience one time. Used to hear some of the old timers tell their testimony. I was born again back in 1933. And not much has happened since then. Do you know what I'm talking about? Some people get born again and the joy fades. The zeal ebbs away. But God says that there's a knowing that He is looking for. And all of those who will receive forgiveness for their sins and iniquities can know Him. Can know Him. Talking about hearing with the ears of the heart. Jesus said, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Do you remember that? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. You're here today. God's put you here for a special season. You didn't come here just because you got up and decided to come here. You may think that's the reason you're here, but God had an appointment with you today, and He called you here. And some of you here today, I felt this earlier, have a certain amount of discouragement going on in you right now, and the Lord wants you to know that He's seen that. He's seen that discouragement, and He's ready to begin to minister to it. He's ready to begin to cast out the discouragement. And God says the things that have been making you discouraged are all falseness that the enemy has been bringing into your mind, and they have nothing, no power over you at all, and He wants you to cast them down and cast them off right now, just like you'd take off a dirty shirt and throw it away. I want you to get rid of this, because that's what it is. It's dirty covering. You don't want the dirty covering. God says, get rid of your discouragement. He said, I'll lift you up. He said, you've been humble before me, and I will lift you. I will raise you up. Amen? Hearing with the ears of the heart. have ears to hear. In your inward parts, he said, that's where I'm going to put my Torah. In your inward parts, in your heart, I'm going to put them there. And he says, then, in Hosea 6:3, he says, then shall we know. And I want you to know that the if in the King James Version is italicized. You don't see it in this way we've got it. But if you look in your Bible, it says, then shall we know. And it says if there. Well, just that doesn't belong there. That was added because some writer thought that made it clearer. I believe it changes what it's supposed to say. Then shall we know, we follow to know the Lord. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Now, if you read that out of the New Living Translation, Hosea 6:3 says this, oh, that we might know the Lord. I like that. Oh, that we might know, say no again, know, because it's deep, know the Lord. Let us press to know Him. Not if, but let us. Let's do it. This is a commitment. Let us press on to know Him. Then He will respond to us as surely as the arrival of dawn or the coming of rains in early spring. Know Him. That's what I want to get into that. Knowing God. Knowing God. I don't want to know about Him. I don't know if any of you have one of those ratty translations. But there are some translations that say know about God there. Too many people know about Him. The devil knows all about Him, doesn't he? In fact, the devil knows more about God than you do. The devil knows that his days are few. The Bible says that's why he's so angry today and why things are so stirred up as they are, is because he knows he has but a short time. I always like to remind the devil that Jesus is coming soon. I like to remind you, Jesus is coming soon. The days of this day are about over. The day is 1,000 years. The last 1,000's just about over. In Ezekiel 36:26, he goes on with this and he says, a new heart. Say new. See, he isn't just going to put it in your heart, but it's going to be a new heart. Also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. Oh yeah, the Spirit of God dwells inside of us. He made my spirit come alive. Amen? That's what being born again is all about. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh. Hard-heartedness. People that sit in church and hear the Word of God and they get a touch, but they say, I don't care, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to change my way of doing things. That's stony heart. You know, there's a problem today that people want to do just enough to get in. People want to get in just far enough to miss hell. That's what I've discovered. And I'm concerned that perhaps many aren't far enough. We heard on one of the prophetic television shows the other day that a poll has been done by one of the big pollsters that said that 60% of people who count themselves as evangelicals now don't believe that Jesus is the only way of salvation. Aaron heard that and asked me, he said, what do you think that says about their salvation? Think about this. The Word of God says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. If we don't believe that, are we believing in the true Christ, the Son of the living God? People like to say, oh, but Pastor, don't you know that these other people are sincere? Yeah, they're sincere. But nothing in the Scripture says that sincerity will get you to heaven. It says there's just one door. Jesus said, I am that door. If any man comes in by me, he can go in and out and find pasture. But you can't get in any other way. You can't climb the fence. You can't crawl under. Buddha didn't die for your sins. Muhammad's in his grave. Jesus Christ is the only one that's been raised forever to be with God. I am, he said, the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come to the Father but through me. He said, I'll give you a heart of flesh. The 27th verse of Ezekiel 36 says, I'll put my spirit within you and I'll cause you. I want you to see it. I'll cause you. I'm going to put my spirit within you and I'll cause you. I'm going to put my spirit on the inside of you and then I'm going to cause you. Do you realize what that's saying? That the Spirit of God having control on the inside of us will cause us to do something. It'll change what you do. It's going to cause you to walk differently, isn't it? In fact, that's exactly what it says. I will cause you to walk in my statutes. Now, the weight of cause you is still going on when it says, and you shall keep. I'll cause you to keep my judgments. And I'll cause you to do them. Well, that's three different things. Are they different? Is it different to walk and keep and do? Yeah, I think it is. I got curious about the words that were used. Yalak is the word for walk. We've always learned the word halak for walk, but yalak, because we hear about the halakha, that's the walk. But this word is used as yalak, which is undoubtedly either the root or part of the root. Cause you to walk. And yalak means to carry or bear, to carry them. I'll cause you to carry my statutes. I'm going to cause you to carry them. How are you going to carry them? Well, where did he put them? In your heart. So you're not carrying them like this, you're carrying them here. Not carrying them like this. Some people think if I do this all the time, I'll be all right. That won't do it for you, will it? Because I don't know if you know it or not, but Jesus didn't have time when the devil started tempting him to look it up. Did he? It was in his heart. He would cause us to carry them in our heart. Oh, that's been one of the most amazing things for me, how God has caused me to carry His Word. It's in me. It's in me. You know, there's just not much can happen in my life that there's not something that I can find in the Word to cover it. That just it just comes forth. And it should be that way for all believers. Every believer should be that way. The Bible says by the psalmist, I will hide thy Word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I'm carrying the Word of God. I'm a Word carrier. Amen? Now, that's not enough just to carry it. But I've got it there. It's there. I'm carrying it. You all heard about the guy that said the same thing. He says, everything that happens in life, I can find a scripture for. And people, you know, began to test him. Sure enough, boy, he could just come up with the Word about everything that went on in his life, you know. The Word was there. And one day, while he was talking, a fly flew right in his mouth. And the people said to him, well, there's one for you. Now what are you going to say? He said, well, that's an easy one. I was a stranger, and you took me in. But seriously, we need to walk carrying, bearing the statutes of God. And he says, and you shall keep my judgments. What does keep mean? The word shamar, I mentioned it to you last week. Yahweh is Shomer Yisrael. He is the keeper of Israel. He that keepeth Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. You remember that psalm? Shomer Yisrael. But shamar is the word for keep. But who can tell me what keep means? To what? To protect. What else? just go along with little shades of meaning there, to protect, to keep, to guard, treasure. That's right. And that's what we're going to do next. Once we're carrying it and bearing it, we're caused to do this, by the way. The Holy Spirit's going to cause us to do this. You let Him do it. You surrender to Him. He'll cause you to do this. You'll have to resist Him to keep from doing this. You'll have to crowd Him out to keep from doing this, because He's going to cause you to walk in His statutes. Keep them. He's going to shamar My judgments. He's going to cause you to guard or regard, to protect, to value My judgments. And He's going to asah, is the word for do. I'm going to cause Him to do. This is powerful. I'd never seen this in this word. I knew that asah in Hebrew means to do. That's normally the simple word. But when I began to look it up in the Scripture and see what the shades were, it actually has to become. So I'm going to bear the Word of God, I'm going to guard the Word of God, and I'm going to become what the Word of God says and is. It's going to become a part of me. Another shade of meaning means to be dressed with. To dressed with. And isn't that what we're doing when we put on the whole armor of God? We're dressed with it, aren't we? And that's all about the Word. We actually change. It changes who we are. We actually become something different than we were before. The new covenant is to hear and know intimately the God who is to be obeyed. And it's knowing, but isn't that more than many think it is, knowing God? Listen, it's going to change you. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, say in Christ. How many of you know that anytime you see in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved, by Him, in Him, through Him, all of those statements, all are covenant words. Because they actually talk about you coming out of an old place and moving into a new realm in Him. It's a covenant. And if many man be in Christ, say in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. Creation's actually better than creature there. He's a new creation. New creation. What is a new creation? A new creation is one that's got the covenant of God written in his heart, so that he walks and bears the Word of God in his heart, so that he keeps and guards and regards the Word of God in everything that he does, and so that he does or becomes what the Word of God says he is. Did you know most Christians don't believe they are what God says they are? Most people don't really believe they're a new creation. You want to know why? Because they got the old man coming around all the time, raising his ugly head and acting just like he used to act. I'm too tired, God. I got other things I'd rather do. I can't spend all my time in the Word of God. Can't spend all my time in church. Think about it. Old things are passed away. God's causing me to be new. All things are become new. Say new. New. Wow. And you know what? We're not living up to the standard. We haven't been enjoying the blessings the way it's supposed to be. Remember, we started out, the Bible says, if you'll hear my voice, then I'll bless you. If you'll hear my voice and guard and regard and do and hearken to my word, I'll bless you with great blessings. And if you read all those blessings, I'll tell you, it doesn't leave anything out. Bless you with children. Bless you with flocks. Bless you with crops. Bless you with everything you need. But you see, people have been trying to do that just by plugging in the words. Kind of like a formula. here, I'll just do this formula and I'll get this blessing and I'll do this formula. No, we're talking about knowing God. That's not a formula. That's relationship. Knowing Him. That's what I've been talking about for weeks, about hearing Him. Knowing Him. Pastor, give us three easy steps. Give us 3 points in a poem, Pastor, so we can get this message over with and get out of here. We want the things we can just write in our little notebook, do this and then this and then this, and then everything will be great. I want you to know the answer to that is no, I can't. And no, I won't. And God didn't make it that way. No, the life I'm talking about is a demanding life. Somebody said, I thought you said that when I became a Christian, it'd be life on easy street. No, I never said that, and neither did Jesus. He did say this, though. He said, if you take my yoke upon you, my yoke, and learn of me, because my burden is easy, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Why? Because He's helping you. He's causing you. He's working in you to do His good will. But I want you to know it's still demanding. Staying in the yoke with Jesus is a demanding thing. It's not easy. I can't do things just the way I want to do them anymore. Because I'm in a yoke. Y'all know what a yoke looks like, right? How many of you come from the farm? Well, I came from a farm and never saw any very much yoke on my farm, but I saw it on other farms when I was growing up, and we used to still see them around. But the yoke holds two animals together so that they can pull in concert, so they can pull together. And we're supposed to be yoked up with Jesus. But it's not easy. You still got to keep in step. You still got to keep moving. And you know that what would Jesus do bracelet that a lot of you used to wear? I think some of you forgot that you had it on. What would Jesus do? What would Jesus do? Well, really, that's what it is about being yoked up with Him, isn't it? It's doing what He does. It's walking in His steps. It's hearing His voice. He said you'll hear a voice behind you when you turn to the left, or when you turn to the right, saying, this is the way, walk in it. He's going to be talking to us. He's going to be directing us. He's going to be showing us. But it's not an easy walk. In fact, I want to say to you today, get ready to give your best effort. Some of you have gone out for sports and you give your best effort because you want to make the team. This is one team you don't want to miss. Give your best effort. Not the just enough attitude. I just want to do enough to get by. I want to get out of the danger of hell, but I don't want to get out of the world, and so I'm going to walk the line. No. You're going to leave the world. And you're going to get in all the way. You're going to stay in. This is God's call. Listen. We've got exceeding great and precious promises ahead of us. They're right there to be claimed. How many know that? God's Word is full of promises. It's full of just out and out facts about what's ours. Things that are just waiting for you to pick up and take and to begin to use them so that you can be a witness of the goodness and the grace of God. So that you can be sent to places where you might not go. Let me tell you what Paul thought about it. Paul said, when I think about this, when I realize all he's done and what he's left for me, how many of you know Paul had quite a future in the Jewish religion? He really did. He was probably headed right up to the top of the Jewish hierarchy. He was well educated. And boy, had he been pleasing him when he'd go out and he'd find these Christians and put them on trial for their faith. Put them on trial for having left Judaism. Really, they hadn't left at all. But he thought they had. But here's what he said about his great prospects and all that were going to happen. He says in Philippians 3:8, and you can go back and read all of Philippians. I just didn't want to take time to go through all of it. But he says all of Philippians 3, where he says, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus." To know Him, see? The knowledge. "For whom I have suffered the loss of all things." I don't know if you know it, but he lost all standing. Not only did he lose standing with them, they had wanted posters up for him everywhere. His standing was gone. They were looking for him now. But he said, I suffered the loss of all things. What did he suffer the loss of? His worldly status. His religious status. He suffered the loss of all the plans he had. All the pursuits that he was going to make. But he says, I've suffered the loss of all those things, and I do count them but dung. Now you all know what dung is, don't you? I don't believe it was an accident that Paul used that word. Because it doesn't take you long to think what you do with dung. What do you do with it? Well, the Bible says in the Old Testament, cover it up. Cover it up. Bury it. He said, that's what I count. All of these things that I did have, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10 says, that I may know Him. Whoa, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Remember, I'm in the yoke with Him. I'm in the yoke with Him. When He died, what happened? I died. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. So I'm yoked up with me. But praise God, when I died with Him, my sins were taken away. They were remitted. And then He rose up out of the grave, and I'm in the yoke with Him. And what happened? I'm risen with Christ into the newness of life. Romans 6:1 says, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Halila! God forbid. Never. I'm talking about your best effort. I'm talking about what this is worth. Oh, but I've got plans, Pastor. There's things I want to do. I've heard people say this, you're too young to really get yourself involved in a regular ministry yet. You know, go out and do your stuff and have your fun. There'll be plenty of time when you get old. You know what? There are going to be people with that attitude that are going to miss it. They're going to miss it. And if you don't miss salvation, you're going to miss a lot of rewards. And you're going to miss the plan and purpose that God had for your life. Paul says that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. I want to know Him. Do you want to know Him? Do you want to know Him the way I'm talking about today? How different from just enough to be saved? We're not talking about that. You can be saved by confessing that Jesus is Lord and believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead. You can get saved that way, but listen, that's not where we end this thing. That's the door. We come through the door and then we get inside and boy, I want to go all the way. I want to get excited. How many of you get excited with me? Anybody here ready to get excited? Oh boy, I'll tell you what. People get excited about dumb things. There's going to be a football game tonight. CU is going to play CSU. They've already got the police mobilized to stop the riots from people rejoicing. But we can get excited and they never have to send the cops, right? Some of you, they might send the undertaker if you don't shape up a little bit. going to come in and check your vital signs. What we've got here is enough to get excited about. Amen? You ought to jump to your feet. You ought to shout and sing. How different is my life because of what Jesus did? I'm not just getting my needs met through this salvation. You know, the only reason I need my needs met so I can be here to be a servant. So I can be here to share the good news. A hearing ear, listen, we talked about it for a long time now, but a hearing ear, bottom line, comes from knowing God and loving Him. You want to hear Him better? You want to know Him better then. You want to hear Him better? You want to love Him more. You want to love Him with all your heart. We say it every week. Shall love the Lord my God with all of my heart. B'chol levavka. With all of my mind, will, emotions, with all my intellect, I want to love my God. And with all my might, with all my strength, with all my power, and the Hebrew word puts it into one little thing, my meodeka, all of my muchness, everything that pertains to me, I want to love God with it. You ever think about loving God with your money? Just love you with my money, Lord. Amen. It's a tool that I can love Him with. You say, that sounds worldly. No, no. Money is not good or evil. It just depends on how you use it. Amen? See, a hearing ear comes from knowing God and loving Him. 1 John 2:3, He says, hereby we do know that we know Him. You want to know that you know God? How do you know if you know Him? What do? Say it out loud. Again. One more time. We keep His commandments. How do we keep them? We guard them and regard them. We become doers of the Word and not hearers only. How do you know if you love Him? John 14:15. We know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. How do we know that we love Him? Look at John 14:15. What do we have to do if we want to love Him? Do what? Keep His commandments. What are His commandments? The Bible says His commandments are not grievous. They're exciting. We get to do what He says. We get to do what He does. Talking about revelation of the Word of God. Knowing His commandments. Keeping His commandments. Knowing by the Spirit of God. We know Him by the Spirit of God. Peter was walking with Jesus one day, and the disciples were walking with Him, and Jesus says, whom do men say that I am? And they said, oh, some say you're Elijah. Some said, well, yeah, but others say you're one of the prophets. Peter steps up from the back of the pack and he says, but you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus recognized immediately that that did not come out of Peter's simple understanding. Because Jesus said to Peter, Peter, your name means stone, Kepha. And upon this rock of that confession that you made, this huge rock, will I build my church. Because flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. How I want to have knowledge of Him by the Spirit of God. You too? Praise God. Knowing by the Spirit. You see, a hearing ear comes from knowing God and loving Him. And that just causes us. Isn't that what He said I will do? I will cause you to walk. Cause obedience. And that obedience will bring blessings that you haven't even imagined. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, Father, today, as we have taken Your Word and looked at Your Word, many areas in Scripture, I ask you today, Father, that these words will not simply be words that I have spoken, but they will be words that the Spirit of God has spoken in the ears and hearts of your children. That every person here today, Lord, will suddenly recognize the move of the Spirit in their life, drawing them out of a complacency, drawing them out of a being distracted, and bring them back to the one and only God, to knowing You, whom to know aright is life eternal, knowing You in the way that only You can reveal to us. Lord, I pray for revelation to flow into this body this morning, to everyone that listens to these words, Father, that they will be touched by this and come out of darkness, come out of a complacency, come out of a distracted way of looking at the Word and begin to put You first, that I may know You and the power of Your resurrection, that I may know You. That's my prayer today. That this body may know You. That Your people may know You. And that they may walk with You. That in this world, though they have tribulation, they will overcome with You. Because You overcome the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. Even our trust, our faith in You. We thank You and praise You for it today. Stand with me now if you want to know God more than you've ever known Him before. If you want to know Him in the deepest possible way, let's stand together. Praise God. I want to invite you as we begin this service. I said lift your hands unto Him. I want to invite you to lift your hands to Him again today. Father, these are Your children. Each and every one of them desiring to know You, to know You, to know You, and never go back. Never go back. Never allow the acute awareness of Your presence, the consciousness of You on the inside of us, to wane again. Lord, cause us to walk in fullness, I pray. And now may Yahweh bless you and keep you. May Yahweh make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God.